Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you guys have asked me about the link to our podcast, so every message that we preach here, not everything, but almost all of them are in. If you go to these websites, so if you have an Android, iPhone, PC, the first link would take you to that message archive. You can download it. You can listen to it on any device. Now, if you're an Apple user, you can download it, keyword CityGate South Haven. So here it is, the information. Now, if you're not a technology person and if you want CDs, please email office@citygate.org, and you can purchase it as well. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone, any questions on that? Good? Come on, Deb, come on forward. I want Deb to pray and start this.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. This day that you have made, Lord. We welcome your presence in a greater magnitude this morning than we've ever acknowledged before. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and pour out your Spirit upon us. Run from within us like rivers of water, Father, to spread throughout this house, to spread throughout this region and this community, Father. Lord, I ask that your very hand be upon Janu this morning. Lord, to speak through him the words that you have empowered him to speak, Lord. And that he will not go to the left nor to the right, but it would be what you have called him up here to speak today. Lord, prepare our hearts. Lord, let this ground be dug this morning and seeds go in to bring and bear forth fruit. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you, God. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. And I ask, let your fire fall. Let your glory come. Let your presence invade our space this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you today about the seven daily tests. Turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. There are seven tests that we are confronted with every day. And there are seven tests that God is expecting us to pass every day. I'll get into the detail in a few minutes. But turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 3, 5. Let's read this together. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you and our labor would be in vain. He says, for this cause, when I couldn't stand it any longer. There's a time when your faith is pushed and tested to the limit. When you can't stand any longer, you can't bear it anymore. Hallelujah. And he says, I sent someone to find out if the tempter tempted you and destroyed your faith. Jesus said the same thing to Peter. He said, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. The enemy is out there continually testing us, wanting to fully break us down. And if you don't pass that test, there are serious consequences at the end of the day. So you notice that in the previous verse, the Bible says we are confronted with the tempter. Do you see that? The tempter might have tempted. So we, every one of us, are confronted with a tempter. And the Bible calls him the Satan, the adversary, the opposer, the accuser of the brethren. He's continually out there to shipwreck your faith in God. He doesn't want you to have even an ounce of faith in God. Hallelujah. So in other words, there would be someone or something that would test you daily. And that's what I want to talk to you about, because I'm seeing in the Christian circles A lot of people are going to church but not seeing enough results. I've told this before in my messages. It's one thing to hear about something, and it's another thing to experience the reality of the Word of God. Why is there a disconnect between what you hear and what you experience? The reason being, many do not know that there is a cycle of tests that goes on daily, which you're required to take and pass to go to the next level. You know, we were at a conference recently where Joyce Meyer came to Memphis, and she said in a very interesting statement, she said, many Christians are still sitting in the fifth grade or sixth grade level, not moving up because they're failing the tests. So what happens when you fail a test? You got to repeat. You got to retake the same wilderness over and over again because you're failing the test. Can move up another level. You are not able to move up another level. So we are confronted with the tempter. And Jesus says, I have prayed that you will not fail this test. The number seven, let's go. First of all, I want to talk to you. So the topic is the seven daily tests. But I want to first highlight on the number seven. Everyone knows the number seven. It's a biblical number for completion. The Bible says, for a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble into ruin. Not one time, not two times, but how many times? Seven times. And in Leviticus 4:6, it says, the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood seven times. How many times? Seven times. Not once, not twice, but seven times before the Lord in front of the veil of the sanctuary. There are seven colors of the rainbow. There are 7 days a week. Seven is a number of completion. Seven notes in the music. So here, in addition to the seven being a complete number, there's also 7 categories of tests that all the tests and trials and temptations fall into. And that's why the priest didn't sprinkle the blood once or twice. He did it how many times? Seven times. And then we'll go to the 7 daily tests. I'm going to highlight on the word daily. Because this 7 tests is not something that you once take and you're done with. This is a daily test. And the battle just intensifies daily. I mean, not the battle, the test intensifies. So if you are already a graduate of 6th grade, the 7th grade math is going to be way more intense than the 6th grade math. 12th grade math is going to be way more intense than 8th grade math. Doesn't mean you stop going to school. He says, be merciful unto me, O God, for man is trying to swallow me up. He oppresses me, fighting me. How many times? Daily. So in addition to 7, this is a daily battle. I have to fight this devil. How many times? Daily. But this is a setup by God. Said that if you pass these daily tests that come along your way, you move to another level. In the spirit dimension, this is a stepping stone for you to keep climbing and climbing and climbing until you become a great help and a balm to the nations. Again, the Bible says, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil for how many days? 40 days. In other words, he was tempted daily. Oh, I thought, you know what, when you try to fast, things are going to be easy. No. The devil tempted him daily. He didn't let the Lord loose. Tested him daily. What did Jesus say? Let's say this together. Matthew 6 says, give us this day our daily bread. Not tomorrow's bread, not yesterday's bread, but the daily, today. Give us this day our daily bread. So there is a daily battle, a focus to this present that I have to bring my attention to. Because me passing the test daily determines my qualification for the next level. As Joyce Meyer said, many are still retaking the exams. They're not passing. They're sitting in the same pedestal. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. God said, focus on your day now. Don't worry about tomorrow. It's a daily battle. Focus on how you will tackle today's challenges by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. Now the Bereans, in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 11 says, the Bereans were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and studied the scriptures. Everyone say, daily. When was the last time you opened your Bible? If I may ask you. They studied the scriptures with great eagerness, and they did it daily. Everyone say daily. So this is a daily battle. If you fail to open the scriptures daily, you are an open target for the enemy and an open victim of defeat. There's no way you're going to be victorious that day nor pass the test if you don't open and study the scriptures daily. Because it's a daily battle. As I said, how many days have passed since you've gotten into the Word? Ask yourself. How are we going to pass these seven tests when we are not in the Word every day? Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if you heard about American novelist Eleanor Porter. She said, one day at a time. I got this in my office to remind myself when I come into the office in the morning. One day at a time. Not going to worry about tomorrow. Not going to worry about 2 years from now. I got to tackle this day. Going to put my focus and attention on what's needed to be resolved today. What needs to be addressed today. One day at a time. In the book of Job, chapter 5, verse 19, again coming back to the seven daily test, Job says, God will deliver you from the six troubles or trials or tests, and in seven, no evil shall touch you. So how many daily troubles are we looking at? Seven. And I'm going to go into details on the seven categories where you will be tested daily, but it's a stepping stone for you to climb to another level if you pass these tests. Thank you, Jesus. The seven daily test. We looked at why seven times. In addition to the meaning of divine completion, it also denotes the seven categories. I'll repeat this again. It says, whether you qualify for the next level or not is determined by your passing these seven tests. Let's go into the details. Now, Hebrews 4:15 says, Jesus, who has been tested in all points, but guess what he did? He passed. He was not exempt from these daily tests, Jesus. But he passed these tests, even though he was tested in all points, it says, all these seven categories, he was. Thank you, Lord. So, in scriptures, there is no gray, actually. It's either black or white. It's either you choose blessing or you choose curse. There's no middle ground. You either pass or you fail. You are either hot or you're cold. There is no place for lukewarm. There's no place for this neutral ground when it comes to spirituality. Hallelujah. Hebrews 5:8, turn with me there. It says, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, I like this translation, NLT, New Living Translation, says, God qualified him as a perfect high priest. Jesus, just because he was born the Son of God, didn't have an automatic run to be the Savior of the world. He had to be tested and then be what? Qualified. Hallelujah. Jesus had to be qualified. It wasn't that I knew the president or I knew the Secretary of State, so I have an easy entry now. No. He had to go through certain things. These seven tests, and every one of us, every believer will encounter these seven tests daily. Thank you, Jesus. Now, someone say amen. I know you guys are sleeping, so. Revelation 3, talking about qualification. What does it say? He who overcomes. See, listen. There is no food stamps in the kingdom of God. Everything is through qualification, my friends. Now, one thing I'll tell you this. We all have a ticket to heaven if you are sincerely repented and baptized. We all have a ticket to heaven. But on the earth plane, not every one of us are same. That's why some people say favor ain't fair. Right? Not every single person here, everyone has a different level, whether it's financially, materially, status-wise, society. Why? Why their partiality? In the earth realm, it all depends on how you qualify for the next level. Now, everybody qualifies for heaven through the blood of the Lamb, but if you want to reign as a king and a priest here, there are certain things that you need to qualify for. It just doesn't come easy. Not many people want to pay the price. They want easy, easy withdrawal. Doesn't work like that. Jesus said it this way. He who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne as I also overcame. Jesus didn't need to take the cross, but Father said, that is the way to the crown. No cross, no crown. Hallelujah. If you don't pass the test, if you don't overcome what the devil is throwing against you, you ain't going to the next level, whether you like it or not. He who overcomes, she who overcomes, the seven daily tests. Hallelujah. Let's look at real quick what the seven daily tests are, and then I'll get into the details on the seven daily tests. I said daily, and this is why Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I need the daily ammunition. I need the daily provision. I need the daily revelation to overcome what the devil is throwing at me. Give us this day our daily bread. What you thought it was, the bread from the grocery store? That's not what it's talking about. I need the sustenance spiritually to survive the onslaught of the enemy in this earth plane. Give me, Lord, this day my daily bread. Jesus. So it's a daily battle. Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Paul said, I die daily. If you love your flesh, you are not going to pass the test. You got to learn to die to your flesh daily. The saints search the scriptures daily. You know, let me take this bottle of water. I can't, if I drank this bottle of water last week, is that all I need? This bottle of water won't sustain me more than maybe, in the next 5 minutes I finish it, that's it. But I can't say I won't drink another bottle until next week. I need water. Many a times the attitude towards spirituality or scriptures is such that, okay, I drank, I was in this conference a few months ago, I don't need anything anymore. Just as we drink our water daily, you need your spiritual water daily, my friends. Many times we ignore that part of our life. That's what Jesus said. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So it's not just about having this physical sustenance. There's a spiritual element that you have to feed more than your physical self. Because the tempter, as we looked at earlier, he tests us. The word temptation or test in that aspect is called perirasmus. In Greek, it's called perirasmus. It means to put extreme pressure on your flesh and your mind until you sway and listen to the suggestions of the enemy. So perirasmus, or testing or temptation, the meaning is extreme pressure applied on one's flesh and upon one's mind until you sway to his suggestions. And the enemy is a master at perirasmus. He's going to continue to make suggestions. He started at the Garden of Eden, and he ain't stopped yet until he goes to the hells of fire. And our flesh, since it's fallen, is susceptible to suggestions, my friends. Whose voice are you going to listen to? Thank you, Lord. The enemy, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, the enemy can directly whisper, or he usually uses people. People who are closest aligned with you. That's why you got to audit your circle periodically. Who am I talking to more? Who am I hanging around with? Who is bleeding onto me now? Remember I said iron sharpens iron. There is bleeding involved in relationships, bleeding of their character, bleeding of their influence onto you. Jesus. So to avoid temptation, to overcome this, you also have to learn to stay away from certain influences so that these extreme pressures won't come and hit you and press down on you. You got to run. You got to run from temptation. God ain't telling you to stand there and fight these. He's telling you to run, flee from lust. Not fight, flee from it. Stay away from these environments that can pull you down. He told this morning, we got to have an attitude of like a militant, like a soldier. Can't take this easy. Because there are too many promises upon every one of our lives. And no one's going to receive anything without taking it by force. The devil ain't going to give you an inch. You want to win your promises? Till the last minute, fight. Fight with prayer, intercession, fasting, offering, whatever you can do. Throw the whole kitchen sink and then get your promises into your hands. You know, I usually use teamwork, you know. I usually teamwork means I have a network of prayer partners. Until I see my promise manifest, I'm like this wild man in the spirit realm. You won't see me like that in the physical realm. In the spirit realm, what I do in the closet is heavy warfare. I cut, I pull down, I uproot, I burn. I call upon the fire of God to destroy every weed, every tear that has been standing in my way. Jesus. Why am I telling you this? There's so much potential in each one of us. The devil has been trying to bury you underground. Jesus. The seven daily tests. Number one, let's start with the faith test. Every day you will be tested in the area of your faith. What Jeff goes through as a test is not what Miss Mary will go through. Because God only knows what grade each people are. So he will throw you something that you can handle. No temptation has overtaken man such as is common to others. So the test that you go through will depend on where you are today. So don't look at Job's test and think, oh my God, I'm going. No, you're not Job. I'm not Job. God won't put that in upon you right now because you are not even in first grade of passing the faith test. So your faith will be tested daily. How will you respond? Because this is how you pass the test. Your response determines whether you pass or fail the test. If you fail it, you'll have to retake it again, meaning another problem will come your way and God will see how you respond. When Robert Henderson was here, man, what amazing revelation he told on one Sunday. He said, when a husband-wife relationship, when a husband or a wife lays their life down for their partner, meaning when they want to cuss, when Vicky wants to just cuss Dan out, she says, I'm just going to keep quiet. I'm going to obey and submit and keep quiet. Guess what? God takes her to a higher level in the spirit plane, meaning she now grows in higher anointing, higher revelation, because she decided to obey the word of God despite what her flesh told her to do. It was a test that brought to her in her daily relationship, but she decided, I'm going to keep quiet. I'm going to let God deal with this. It's a test. Similarly, daily, a test will be given to you whether you trust in God or not, whether you respond in faith or fear. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Let us hold fast, hold firm, stand firm to the profession of faith. When the problems hit us, don't get shaky suddenly. Because it's a test, actually. If you're a true child of God, God has got it in control. But if you're going to shake, if you're going to give way to the enemy, you fail the test, and most likely a couple of weeks later, same test will come back again. Look at this, Psalm 78, verse 19. They spoke against God, saying, is God able to provide food in the wilderness? Who's they? The Israelites. All you got to do to fail the faith test is question God's ability, and you failed it right there. Is God able to save my child? Is God able to provide for tomorrow? Is God able to help me pay my bills? When all these questions come, if you ask this question like the Israelites, is God able? You just fail the test. Get ready for another retake very soon. Do not question God's ability if you want to go into the next level. See, among the Jewish circles, the Jewish people knew that there are seven tests, that these seven tests that they have to pass in order to accelerate in revelation, in anointing, in blessings. These seven cycles, these seven tests, it is a setup for you and I to go to the next level. How will you respond? Faith test. Your faith will be tested daily. Thank you, Lord. The next one is the love test. Everyone say love test. Every day, this test would also apply. When you go to your workplaces, when you are in the grocery store, when you are in your shopping mall, there would be the love test coming. If you have prejudice, racism, if you have any sort of hatred toward anybody in your mind, you fail the love test. No wonder you ain't going to any higher level. If you have any hatred or prejudice against your fellow neighbor, who God has made in your own image, in his own image, this is why we got to actively fight all sorts of hatred, division, strife, emulations, because it hinders you from going to the next level. White people can't hate the black people. Black people can't hate the white people. Yellow can't hate the brown. We all are made in God's image. I have the same lungs, the legs, the brain. The issue is, it's not about your ego getting boosted up saying, oh, I'm going to look down on him. I'm going to look down on her. The problem is you ain't going to a higher level. Spiritually, you don't qualify until you start to learn to love. Jesus. Jesus said it this way, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. It's a tough command. See, listen, this is why we don't see many people spiritually climbing. How many people, I think out of 100 million Christians in America, maybe less than 1,000 I can see are firebrand of Christians. Why? Because these are many people don't pass this test right there. How sincerely you love someone else. Love, when I say love, look at that. It's not only, see, it's one thing say, you know what? I don't love someone, but it's another thing to do harm to another. Look at the next verse. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Guess what? A lot of churches are full of backbiters, slanderers, backstabbers. They're just waiting to unload upon somebody. You ain't going to any higher level with that kind of attitude. Listen, my friends, you can fool some people for a few minutes or a few weeks or months, but God is watching. He's the judge. He will pull down one with God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you will reap. Don't play with God and don't play in the church. You're playing with your life, I'm telling you that. Love does no harm to a neighbor. I understand it's one thing for you not to love somebody, but don't harm someone else. Do not do harm to another through your mouth, through your actions, through your body, no matter what it is. Stay away from that. Because, therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. You can't go to another higher level in the spirit dimensions without passing the daily love test. You don't have to go looking for passing the test. It'll come to you. Someone will come to push you in the wrong fashion. How are you going to respond? Going to respond as a bigger person? Say, you know what? I'm going to overlook that offense. That sister or brother, he doesn't know better. It's okay. I'm just going to forgive them. I'm going to pray for them. Now, it's one other thing to advise them, though. That doesn't mean I don't. If I see Dan doing something, and I say, Dan, listen, I need to have a chat with you. I love you, brother, but don't do that again, please. And here's the reason why. Now, it doesn't mean I hate him. That's because of my true love. I correct him or he corrects me. That's called true love. But if I hide that from him, I'm not doing justice to him either. But we do all this in the spirit of love. But harming others is truly out there to do sabotage to a person or a group. Deadly. Next is the joy test. Everyone say joy test. Thank you, Lord. Every day, Satan will test you in the area of your joy or happiness. Thank you, Lord. Are you going to be, you can either pass or fail this test daily. This ain't once a year test. It comes daily. The minute you wake up in the morning, this test hits you. How are you going to wake up? Are you going to say, my Lord, another day? I don't know how I'm going to face this. Or are you going to rise up from your bed saying, hallelujah, glory. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Despite what the circumstances show, you got to pass this joy test. Just make a declaration. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You're sending a signal to the spirit world. Devil, I don't know what programs you have today. I'm going to rejoice because I'm going to trample and tread upon you. Jesus. You got to set the climate for that day. You know that? Yes, you might be feeling depressed, but just get up and declare, this is the day that the Lord has made. It's very important. And Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Honestly, I'm asking you, all Christians sitting here, how many of you can say this honestly, the joy of the Lord is your strength? Very few. Yeah, good, thank God. But I'm telling you, not many can. Because the enemy has gotten into a corner and has sapped you of your joy, and you're just sitting there. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's a joy test. You are going to be joyful, you know, based on what? Not because of some empty, hallucinating thought. Okay, you know, suddenly all these self-improvement guys, they'll say, get up in the morning, do some meditation, go by the lake and have a walk, you'll be happy. That ain't true. I wish that was the case, but that's not the case. How do you get joy in the midst of your afflictions and pain? How? Look at this next verse. It says, consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith develops. So for a believer, this is how you become joyful in the midst of your afflictions, because now you have the outcome of what you're going through. The reason you are joyful is because you have the knowledge of what is at the end of the tunnel. So all these afflictions, the Bible says, is to develop some character in you and to make you complete and lacking nothing. So in the midst of the pain, if I have perspective, I can be joyful. So even when I am troubled in my job, I wake up in the morning and say, praise be to God, because I know I'm coming out victorious. I know already the end of the story here. So this is a joy test. This is why you got to know the Word of God. If you don't pass the joy test, you ain't going to the next level. You're going to get stuck. See, listen, many people want to do a lot of things for God, okay? But see, the problem is God hasn't released you yet. I know some people who will storm into the pulpit to get a pulpit, but listen to me, that'll be short-lived. Until the Lord releases you, if you come into any public platform, you are setting up yourself for a great fall. There are certain tests, there are certain qualifications that God will take you through before he releases you. It ain't easy. Just because you know some scriptures doesn't mean you're ready for ministry, my friends. It's very easy to say, I want to preach, I want to do this. But there is some daily background behind the scene battles that God will take you through and test you to see what you're made of. Can't even pass a simple faith test, but you want to preach in front of people. Ask yourself. Hallelujah. So allow perseverance to finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We are seeing a lot of people with zero character in the church. As the Apostle Claire said last week, if you want the resurrection power to hit, develop character. And character doesn't come easy. There are things that you do and pass in the background, behind the scenes. Hallelujah. So, what makes me joyful in the midst of pain? The perspective that this is what God is doing through my process of pain. So I'm just now going to sit silently like Job did and say, though he slay me, I will trust in him. Because you are fully convinced that God is working through this process. Now, if you fail the joy test, meaning you're going to sit down with ashes and sackcloth, going to complain, no joy, unfortunately, you're not going to pass that test and you're not going to the next level. Doesn't mean you'll be demoted. You'll still sit in the fifth grade, but it will take another window of opportunity before another test comes to test how you're going to respond with joy or with sorrow. What's going to be your perspective in this? Listen to me, my friends. Everything in the spirit world is a transactional based, whether you like it or not. We all think we just came to church and everything is going to be okay. Doesn't work like that. Just as you see in the earthly plane, transactions happening, there is give and take in the spirit realm as well. This is why I told you last time, when you show up at the church, it is sending a signal to the heaven realm. I choose to be here rather than at Incredible Pizza. I choose to be here rather than at the Malco Theater. You're sending, you're giving and taking. You're sending a sacrifice up. God is sending something down. There is no free giveaways here, my friends. One thing I will do, freely give away the gospel, no doubt. But if you want anything from God, from a blessings perspective, there is transactions involved. Spiritual transactions. The next one is peace test. Everyone say peace test. Hallelujah. Your peace will be tested daily. Will you fail or will you pass? There will something be sent your way daily to disturb your peace. How are you going to respond to the fiery darts of the enemy daily, in peace or in trouble? Listen to this. In Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "You keep him or her in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he or she trusts in you." How do we pass the peace test? It's not easy, right? Because there are so many things trying to trouble us, terrify us. But the only way to pass this test is to keep your mind stayed on God. If you take your mind or your eyes away from him, you slip into the waters. Just like Peter. Peter started walking and he made a few steps. He was almost there, but then he suddenly took his eyes off. Boom. Gone. If you want to pass the peace test, you got to learn to keep your eyes fixed on him until you see the light at the end of the tunnel. Jesus. Many fail the daily peace test because suddenly their eyes are off from God and towards their problem. Boom, they're gone. I'm not saying God won't help you, but you are not going to the next level until you pass your daily peace test. God will help you, no doubt, you know. However, there will be another retake of the exam coming soon. The only way to tackle this, to overcome this, is to have your mind stayed on. So to have your mind stayed on God, you got to keep some noise out. Keep some distractions away. Tell your friends, I'm out on vacation. Don't call me for a few days. Because they'll send you their signals. They'll tell you all their opinion and contaminate your mind. You keep your mind stayed on God. Get inside the closet. Because your next level is dependent on you passing this test. Jesus. This is a daily battle. How many of you can say amen, this is a daily battle? We all go through this daily love test, faith test. I'm telling you, you know, when you look at somebody in the spiritual arena, and some people who are being used mightily, some people, the reason why some people are where they are is because they are, in God's eyes, have passed several things that others have not. This is why many times in the healing rooms and other areas, they talk about unforgiveness. Do not harbor unforgiveness, because you can't go to the next level if you harbor any bitterness against other people. You overcome it, and then you go to the next level. But the more you hold on to it, the more you're stuck at the same level, spiritually. Jesus. The fifth one, three more. Fifth one, everyone say, patience test. Hallelujah. Husbands say amen. Patience test. And I'm sure women will say the same. Patience test. Daily, we would be tested in the area of your patience. Would you pass? Or would you fail? There are two main areas where we are, our patience is tested, with people and with situations. So God will send somebody, a person, a man or a woman or a child, yeah, even our kids, to test our patience. Or it might be just a situation. I'm looking for a job and I'm patiently waiting when it's going to happen. People or circumstances. Patience test. Hebrews 10:36 says, "For you have need of patience so that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Listen, you receiving the promise is dependent on you passing the patience test. Read that again. For you have need of patience so that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promises of God. Why am I not receiving certain promises? Next one. Hebrews 6:12 says, through faith and patience inherit the promise. We had to pass the patience test to inherit certain promises from God. None of these tests are easy, but all these tests are a setup to take you to the highest level. How are you going to see your daily battle of life? Tomorrow morning when you wake up, see this as a fresh opportunity to grow up, to go up to a higher level. You know, there are some students who are so smart, they get promoted, double promotion, and they just keep jumping their grades. Some of them, you know, are so good, they'll be admitted in college. That's why age is not a factor in the Christian circle. You can have a 60-year-old man sitting there and a 20-year-old young man sitting there. 20-year guy might be way more mature than a 60-year-old man. Why? Because it all depends on how much you spend time with God, how much maturity you've developed going through these tests. So you can be gray-haired or you can be whatever it is, but if you haven't gone through what God has allowed you to and passed it, you can still be an infant sitting there. Jesus. Next one, number 6. Self-control test. Everyone says self-control. Thank you, Jesus. Daily battle. A test against our discipline. Against temperance, against self-control. Will we pass it or fail it? When the third piece of chicken is put in front of us, are we going to eat it? Or are we going to say no? When we made a resolution, we said we will not eat any more fried foods. And suddenly here comes uncle and auntie. Here, a bucket of fried chicken. What are you going to do? Self-control, daily battle, daily test. January 1st, I made a resolution. I'll do this, exercise, that, and that. But by 15th, your self-control is tested again. Are we going to pass or are we going to fail? You know, I've noticed some of the very successful men in the world, one thing that stands them out is self-control. I've noticed one of the guys on the TV, he said, it's been out 30 years or more since he's touched a fried food. He said, I've made a decision. No matter what, I won't do it. Or similar, you know, there'll be different things for different people. It might be food, it might be TV, it might be something. But some things are harmful for you. Just because it tastes good doesn't mean it's good for you. If it doesn't help you spiritually, or let me put it this way, if it really feeds your flesh, stay away from it. Because the Bible says, crucify your flesh with its desires. Now, for us Christians, there is nothing prohibited, okay? We are free. However, we got to practice self-control in all things. We just can't let our guard loose when we see a lot of people. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25 says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it, why? To receive a perishable prize, but we an imperishable. So the reason why we want to pass this test, our benefits far outweigh than what a regular athlete is running for. Will you pass the self-control test? Because your next level is dependent on you passing this daily. Because something the devil will throw against you daily to test your self-control. One of the best ways to maintain self-control is stay away from zones that you are vulnerable to. So if you have a gambling issue, do not go near the highways that leads to casinos. If you have a cigarette smoking issue, don't go near friends who have cigarette smoking habit. If you have gossip issue, stay away from friends who tend to make you talk too much. If you have food issue, stay away from certain places and restaurants that would tempt you. In other words, stay away from places of temptation. None of us are so spiritually strong to go into a place of temptation and say, I'm going to fight it. None of us. Only way you can fight temptation is to flee from it. Flee. See, Apostle Paul said it this way, the will of God is this, your sanctification, meaning you get away from certain areas that you don't need to be in. Samson, mighty, mighty man of God, very powerful, could tear up a lion with his hands, but couldn't tame Delilah. Your anointing is not for the bedroom, my friends. It's for God's exploits, not for other things. Well, next one. Okay, look at this, Acts 24:25. So Apostle Paul was evangelizing in Rome, and he saw King Felix. He says, as Paul expounded on righteousness, self-control, and the coming judgment, King Felix, what did he say? King Felix became frightened and said, you may go for now. When I find the time, I'll call for you. He didn't want to do it. He wanted to indulge in all sorts of junk. But notice what Apostle Paul preached. Righteousness, self-control. Self-control. You're not called to live loose life here. Self-control is a daily battle, daily test that God will send it across. You can either pass or you can either fail. Thank you, Jesus. And they said, we'll choose to praise God, Jesus. And the Bible said, the earth shook, the foundations broke, and the chains came loose. Thank you, Lord. That's okay. So give thanks in all circumstances, because it is a test. I know it's not easy. I was tested in many of these areas yesterday too. And the Lord reminded me, how are you going to respond? I said, praise be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm not saying everything is going to be so hunky-dory where you're going to be always running around smiling. But your emotional inner response has to be, God is going to come through. God is going to see me through. I'm just going to bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because God is shaping a character in me. He's bringing me out as gold, tested and refined by fire. You have to have that perspective because you're a Christian. Now, for the non-believer, they can't have the same kind of perspective. They're not even in the family of God. Okay? No flood will overtake you. None of these calamities will destroy you. But you got to respond in the right fashion because it's a test. And when you pass the test, you go to the next level. He who overcomes, I will grant him the right to sit on the throne with me. It is not only talking about one future event. It's talking about you or her or him. When you overcome, God elevates you in the position of your authority and influence. He grants you the right to sit on the throne means sit in the position of authority and declare and decree and establish some things. Have you noticed some, you know, I've seen a lot of people in the churches lately, generally, they come and make declarations, no effect. You can talk a bunch of, you know, whatever you want. Nothing will happen unless God has established you in power. You know, you can know a musician whether he's anointed or not. Because there might be several people who can sing. Just because you can sing doesn't mean they're anointed. You know, some anointed people, as I heard recently, they just have to put one or two keynotes on the piano or the organ, and suddenly revival breaks loose. Why? Because they're so anointed. Others, same thing, but nothing happens. So what I'm trying to say is, your level of passing these tests will get you more position of authority to do the execute, not to do, but to execute the will and purposes of God with effect. A lot of people want to do the work of God on earth. Baptists want to, Catholics want to. How effective is everybody? That's my question. Jesus. And Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. Is our praise at all times? Is it like a, is it on a loop? I will bless the Lord at all times. You know, traditionally we've taught all these verses telling people, you just got to do this, you got to worship the Lord, you got to love others. But we didn't tell people, your next level depends on you passing these things. It is a bunch of laws and rules that, as like a whatever, who cares if I love her or not. But guess what? You should care. You ain't going anywhere until you pass these seven tests daily. Jesus. And come on, let's stand up on our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. Come on, let's ask the Lord. None of these things that we can do without the infusion of the Holy Spirit. We can love others. We can have enough faith. We can have enough joy. All this is through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Fresh into, I said, mentioned earlier, it's not enough for me to have drank a bottle of water last week. I need it today too. You need a fresh infilling. You just can't say, I got filled a few weeks ago, a few months ago. We need continual infilling. So come on, let's lift our hands. Show a sign of surrender to God and say, God, just pour out. Just receive, Holy Spirit, fire! Jesus. Oh God, every thirsty soul, every desiring person, I release the power of the Holy Ghost. Fresh fire, fresh wind, oh God. Let people be able to pass these tests. That new perspective come in. That will propel them into the higher levels. That every person standing here would be a world shaker for the kingdom, oh God. That they would pass these tests and they would sit on the throne and do your will and shake the whole world, oh God. That people one by one will go to different nations, different cities, do great exploits, oh God, hallelujah. Jesus, Holy Spirit, do your work, oh God. We just submit, we surrender it all to you now. Have your way. Take over, oh God. New perspective, new mindset, oh God, hallelujah. Jesus.